Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is a podcast where we talk about stuff, junk. I'm Parker, joined, as always, by co-host Frisbee.
Hey, and also this week, a special guest, all the way from Dayton, O, is Sam.
Hi.
How you doing, Sam?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing swell.
Nice.
It's good to have you here. Joining us on... God, is this our 26th episode?
27th episode.
Oh, how time flies. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen us on redbandnetwork.com, be sure to visit there. See other shows like ours and help support Red Band Network.
Indeed, you can do that. You can also check out poolpartyradio.com, as that's where all of our episodes live, and links to our iTunes where you can give us reviews and comments and things of that nature, which will help other people find us, and then they'll give us reviews and comments, and then other people will find us, and then they'll leave reviews and comments, and it'll keep going until everybody has the bird flu.
The avian flu, if you will.
Yeah. So also, if you want to email us, it's poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Frisbee will read those emails because he loves to read.
Mm-hmm. That's why he was an English major.
Yep.
An English master's. I just could not stop reading.
It wasn't because you couldn't decide what to do or anything. It was just all about reading. That's why people major in English.
Exactly. The passion of it all.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, do not be fooled. It wasn't because chemistry was quote-unquote hard or quote-unquote too hard. Yeah, I'll read those emails. Send them, suckers. I don't care. What do you think of that?
Well, I do care. I want more emails. Yeah, if you... need help figuring out your mortgage, figuring out your relationship troubles, or if you just want to call us monsters, send those emails in.
And also, don't forget to check out all the Twitter accounts ever. Pool Party Radio, at Parker Arizona, at Jason Frisbee. And Sam, you have a handle too, right?
Yeah, it's at Samantha Strudel.
There you go.
Also, we should mention here at the top of the show, that Jenny Mack, our friend who was a guest last week, she's going to be banned. It's not a full-fledged ban the way that John Holmes is banned, but we're going to put her on a temporary banning for a while, temporary banning probation, because she was a regular Mark Zuckerberg on the show last week, and all throughout the show, there were little Facebook pop-up chat sounds, and so she's banned. She's banned for that.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, that was Jenny Mack. So she's banned for that.
A regular Mark Zuckerberg. Hey, wait, you mentioned John Holmes was banned. I thought he was unbanned.
Well, he's banned from being a guest, but he's not banned from being a co-host when you're sick or when you pass away from the bird flu. Okay.
Thank you for acknowledging that I'm going to pass away from the bird flu. But, at least I got to look forward to.
Yeah, but I think he's banned again, a renew on his ban, because I asked him to do another editorial and he said no. So, banned again, John Holmes.
You know what, John Holmes? If you won't do an editorial, we'll just get Andy Rooney to do one. It's not like he's doing anything.
Yeah, he's free.
In your face. In the face of your old editorial, how you don't like people saying that you're like Andy Rooney for complaining about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Every good, it's way back when.
But yeah, with all that stuff out of the way, we can now talk about what we learned this week, which is a tradition on this show. So would you like to start us off, Mr. Frisbee?
I have a smartphone for work now, and I've never had a smartphone. I didn't know what it was capable of, and now I know what everybody is so excited about, because it's extremely futuristic, intimidating, and very, very handy. Like, every one of my minor troubles throughout the day was solved by this just tiny device in my hand. Like, I got lost driving around. I'm like, oh, how am I going to get myself out of this one? And I flipped around through my phone, and there's a map feature. And it's like, would you like us to give you directions about how to get somewhere else? I'm like, yes, that would be excellent. And a voice started talking to me through the task of getting me back home. So that was a phone. Like, I was thrilled when my phones would take color photos before, and now it's like making me coffee in the morning. It's ridiculous.
You sound like Austin Powers.
It is, yeah. My showers are much like Austin Powers in the morning.
Yeah, I was very excited. I got my smartphone like right before I moved out to California, and it had the GPS stuff, and I was like, man, this is going to be great. You know, when I'm going and exploring this new town, I'll know exactly where I'm going. This is fantastic. And then like a week passed, and then I was like, man, I don't want to explore this town. It's garbage. So I just deleted that app and started playing a bunch of Pokemon on my phone instead. Much more helpful.
Got those Squirtles?
Yeah, I always get Squirtle. He's my favorite one.
I thought you lived in Pallet Town, though. I mean, can't you just go out into those fields and use your dog to catch one?
Yeah, I'm constantly fighting Rattatas, or whatever they are.
Oh, you need to move on, then. You need to get on the SS, whatever it was.
Yeah. But yeah, Sam, what did you learn?
Okay. So what I learned is actually pretty cool. I learned that apparently there is a fungus that grows in the brains of ants that turns them into zombie ants.
What?
Like, they lose control of their brain function, and they crawl up to the tops of trees and sit there on the very top branches, and this fungus just grows up out of their head, and it sporulates, and spores rain down on other ants below and infect them.
That just...
like, legitimate real zombie virus.
Well, I think that cremated what I learned this week.
Yeah.
I guess that there's a similar thing that affects gypsy moth caterpillars, too, but instead of having fungus growing out of their head, they just turn into, like, some nasty slime stuff that, like, rains down from the tree onto other caterpillars, which is even more messed up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I once told Mike Dick, when he came on the show, that night terrors were the most frightening thing I'd ever heard of, but I'm changing my mind, and I'm going with this.
Yes! Kind of excited.
If they replace the ants and that caterpillar with people, this would be the next greatest Cronenberg film.
Absolutely.
Like, next to The Brood and Scanners. Was Scanner Cronenberg?
I think so. I don't know for sure, though. I only host a cult movie podcast. I don't know about these Cronenbergs.
Well, like, yeah, next to Videodrome, at the very least, I mean, this would just be phenomenal. That'd be great. Can you imagine, like, a guy going to the top of a watchtower,
and
you're like,
oh, no. It'd be a building or something,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's not going to explode.
Yeah, and then, like, his guts get over by the, and you're like, oh, what's all this then? And they go about their day, like, I can't believe that guy exploded on me. And then all of a sudden, they're just watching TV. They get up, and they walk to the top of a building, and they explode. And more
it's brilliant. I this movie needs to happen right now.
I think this movie did happen. I think it was Slither by James Gunn. This is exactly Slither that we're talking
about.
Is it? Now. Yeah, not exactly, because it happened to people and not bugs. But these aliens would come down and infest people, and then, like, they would blow up like balloons and then explode into more aliens that would infest more people.
That's awesome.
I never did see Slither. Yeah,
I
did too.
But totally before its time, because this was just discovered like a couple of weeks ago.
That's how that James Gunn works.
Yeah, I guess so.
He invented this bug disease.
Let's get him for what he did to us.
We fucked up my ant friends.
Yeah, I learned something way stupider than what Sam learned. I learned that when I go to the store with my wife and she lets me pick out the cereal, I instantly become 4 years old, and it becomes the most important decision that I could ever make in my entire life. I look at all the cereals. I make sure to look at every single one. So I try to make a decision on whether I should pick a cereal I already know that I like. That way I'm not disappointed. You know, should I get the Fruity Pebbles? Should I get the Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Or, you know, should I try something new and, you know, maybe the risks, you know, will pay off and I'll get a new favorite cereal. And it's a very, very important decision. And by the time my wife's done with all the other shopping, I still am looking at cereal. And it becomes a very important thing in my life. So that's what I've learned.
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about by going to the grocery store today. And when we hit the checkout line, I was with Megan and we looked over. Well, I looked over and my eye caught a blue box, a brown box, and a pink box. And I gasped because I realized we're now in the month of Halloween and the monster cereals are back out with Boo Berry, Frankenberry, and Count Chocula. And I kind of freaked out. I nudged her. I'm like, look, look, there they are. Boo Berry, Frankenberry. They're all here. All my friends. And she's like, oh, did you want one? And then it struck me that I was going to be in the same conundrum as you, like that freedom of choice where you just think, ah, do I want the blueberry that tastes nothing like blueberries but has some sort of what blue should taste like flavor? Or do I want the Frankenberry, which makes somewhat of an effort to take like taste like strawberry? And I couldn't handle that. So I'm like, nah, I'll just leave it. I mean, it's just going to be a mess anyway.
I like that you have a real defeatist attitude towards Halloween breakfast cereal.
Just forget it.
Just forget it, guys. I kicked
we'll
up some.
Probably mess it up.
Right. I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm just going to be thinking about the one I didn't take. Like, I'll just be eating these cereals and reading Robert Frost's The Road Less Traveled, you know, at the same time.
What could have been?
Yeah. But if I can make a suggestion, Parker. Mm-hmm. Apple Jacks.
Yeah, I care for Apple Jacks a great deal.
You should just go to that. Because I remember like being a kid, and I would go through a lot of different cereals, but it's whenever I had Apple Jacks that it was like eye-crossingly good. I mean, yeah. I just remember blacking out for at least 15, 20 minutes, and then waking up happy. I'm like, oh, it must have been Apple Jacks.
Yeah.
Apple Jacks still exist?
I think so, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have like the chalkboard drawn kids on the box or anything. That's what I remember about it.
Yeah, I actually chose, this may sound like an old people cereal, but I totally like it. I got banana nut Cheerios, which were goddamn delicious. So if you're out there and you like bananas and you like Cheerios, why not combine the two? Pick those up.
What an endorsement.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get us sponsored.
Like bananas?
Buy banana Cheerios. Cheerios.
You love some nuts. Banana nut Cheerios.
They were good.
Does it taste like banana nut bread?
Oh, it does. It's real good.
It was good. I actually don't eat cereals all that much anymore.
Yeah, adults probably shouldn't do that.
Really?
What about you?
I fucked up.
Well, that's what I mean, that's what TV tells me. You never see, okay. You know, when you see the commercials for the Fruity Pebbles, it's never adults. It's always cartoon kids and stuff. So
it would be interesting if it were geared toward adults, though.
They probably should. I mean, adults are the ones buying the cereal.
It sounded like one of those old Fiber Oat commercials. Like, wake up in the morning, grab your Fruity Pebbles. Greatest way to start your day. And like, it shows him in a meeting, and then he goes back to his desk, and he has the Fruity Pebbles box, dumps it out, and quietly says with a smile, like, yabba dabba do. So I'm going to start my day from now on.
Yeah, that would make things a lot easier because, like, I always buy kids' cereal and stuff, you know, because it tastes way good. And my wife, she gets, like, old people cereal, like this shredded wheat stuff and these fibers.
Oh, I love that stuff.
I don't know about that stuff.
You gotta stay regular, Parker.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good point. But yeah, she gets all that stuff, and then she ends up eating my kids' cereal, and it causes a lot of fights. A lot of horrible, loud fights at 4 in the morning when I have to eat this crappy cereal. But, yeah, so I think now we're going to go to the lightning round.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
The lightning round is the part of the show where we talk about news and stuff. The first thing we have is that a kid in Oklahoma or something got busted for breaking in to an adult video store and stealing some adult DVDs. The police, you know, later caught him with the DVDs and arrested him. And I found this very funny because apparently this kid has never heard of the internet, where there are literally millions of places where you can get porn for free. So
poor, yeah. Misguided dope.
Yeah, I know.
I guess I could see this happening like when we were kids, maybe, because then porn wasn't all over the internet for us to find. Like you'd have to go in the back of your dad's closet or whatever. you know, and seek whatever filth was stored there. But yeah, kids today got it easy with the pornos.
Yeah, they can get it right on their phones. But this kid, apparently a time traveler, this guy is probably friends with that guy we talked about on like episode 16 or 17, who was like that old-timey Depression age security guard who broke up the two girls kissing at the museum.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the same guy.
Now I've done some good for heterosexuality. I'm going to satiate my needs. Break into a porno store, if you catch my drift.
I'm going to take some of this porn back to little Johnny on the farm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. It actually reminds me of another story. This happened about a month or two ago, where a guy in Ohio drove a car into a porno store, got out of the car, and there's surveillance footage of him doing this, and grabbing a few items here and there, like a video, some fleshlight or whatever, and running out. And the worst part about that is that it happens like maybe once a year, like in that same fashion. It's not the same guy, but there will always be somebody who drives into the porno store as like a complete last resort and like, I got to get some porn. Let's close.
I need it.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what the newscast was talking about. It's like, why does this keep happening? So I'm glad it's not just something that takes place in Ohio. This was in Oklahoma, right?
Kansas, actually.
Oh, Kansas. Okay.
I think I said Oklahoma, though, so don't feel too bad. But yeah, like Sam said, like I could imagine this happening like all the time in like the 80s and 90s. Like I could just imagine that porn stores would have to like have armed security guards standing outside like a Steven Seagal movie. And, you know, because, you know, that was the only place you could get the porn and people were hungry for porn at the time. Testosterone was high. But now, I mean, you literally cannot turn on your computer without accidentally looking at some porn. Or at least that's how my computer works.
Yeah, that's how you need to keep selling it too. It's like every time I just hit a button, like I'm trying to type an email, porn pops up. I swear to God.
Yeah, that's how I got fired from being a computer salesman. I was like, man, if you buy this Dell, you're gonna be looking at porno right at the startup, dude.
Dude, you're getting some porn.
The next thing we have, a teacher in Fresno, which is a town very close to my town, is punishing his students if they say bless you after somebody sneezes. He's taking points off of their grades.
What?
Yeah. I find it silly. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this guy? Would you be mad if you were a student and some of your grades went away because you said bless you to somebody?
I would probably, I would probably be like that teacher. That's why I laughed, because I would probably do the same thing. But I don't know if I would ever be that drunk with power in the classroom to initiate it. Like, I'd probably just say, like, you get your name on the board if somebody says bless you. Because I'm not against it. I just think it's funny that it's used at all.
What about gazoomtight? Can you say gazoomtight?
Yeah, I always say gazoomtight because it just means like good health. You know, hope you have good health. And bless you. I never know if they're, I don't know, it just sounds condescending or something. Like, oh, you got to sneeze? You must be full of sin or something like that. I'm wondering what else this teacher does, though. Like, if that's just one aspect of his classroom, like, I don't know what happens if you roll your eyes or twiddle your thumbs. It's almost like when all those characters in The Simpsons became substitute teachers, and that guy with the long beard, Abe Simpson's friend, was standing at the front of a class with a paddle. He's like, drop your pencil, that's a paddling. Cheat off someone's paper, that's a paddling. Paddling the canoe club, oh, you can bet that's a paddling.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a real, like, it seems like this guy's, like, dad who beat him up for years, like, always said, bless you. And this is how he gets back at his dad or something. Like, it just seems like kind of a silly thing. Like, if he's so against stuff like this, he says in the story that the policy has nothing to do with religion or anything like that, but that the phrase is outdated and disrupts class time, which seems like kind of a cop out. But you would think that if he's going to go so far as to, like, take points off of people's grades and stuff like this, that he would demand that they also come into school on Sunday. I don't know, like, I'm sure there's like a billion other things that are sort of ingrained into our culture that are because of religion that we don't think about. And I'm sure he's just skipping over a bunch of stuff like this, but because he remembers this one or something, he's adamant against it.
I like the idea that he's against outdated phrases, because I imagine this list now of other words, like, you can't say consarnate in this room if you get a bad grade. Because believe me, your grades is going to drop even further.
Which is really upsetting, because that Depression-era prospector guy that we talked about earlier, he's in the class.
Yeah, exactly.
He's failing right now because he's got all those old-timey phrases.
Yeah. The only time he got an A, he said 23 Skidoo, and he immediately came over and marked it a C.
Yeah.
Wait, what does this teacher teach? Does it say what he teaches?
He teaches health class.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So barely even a teacher at all.
Yeah.
A failed gym teacher, I think, is how you exactly. get to teach health class.
I think that my French teacher taught health class. Like, on the side.
Yeah. Yeah, whichever teacher needs the most money gets to teach health class. If you're still driving, like, an 82 Pinto, you get to teach health, because the principal takes pity on you. The last thing that we have in this lightning round is probably the best thing we've ever had in the lightning round. A New York man came up with a plan to kill his ex-girlfriend, and this plan is to go out, find a bear, kill this bear, skin the bear, dress up in the bear's carcass, and attack the woman so that people would think that a bear killed her.
That is amazing.
This is the gnarliest plan ever.
So brilliant.
This plan, although brilliant, I can't help but wonder why he just didn't, like, cut out the middleman. Like, if he knows where all these bears are, why not just take the ex-girlfriend to the bears and then, you know, skip the whole process of killing one and dressing up like it? Like, just drop her off in the woods with the bears. I don't know. But, yeah, so this is that guy's plan, and it's pretty great, and I think he stole it from the kids in the hall.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except he's not even, you know, Scott Thompson had enough sense to just, like, rent a bear costume with apparently razor-sharp claws and attack that jerk male kid. But, whatever. This guy, this is how he rolls.
And I commend him. Although it would be bad if he killed his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't kill people and stuff.
Yeah, let's not advocate killing people, but let's advocate dressing up like a bear in an attempt to kill people.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if this were the only way that the story would be better, if the killing was dropped, and if he was just attempting to scare his ex-girlfriend, like if she still had his DVDs, or if she was somehow still like living in the same apartment as him, it's like, no, I'm not moving, but we're definitely broken up. And he's just like, well, I'm going to show her. I'm going to scare her as a bear. It almost has like a Scooby-Doo quality to it.
Yeah, maybe she like really liked bears and thought they were cute. And he was just trying to dress up like the bear to maybe win her love as a bear. Like kind of a Mrs. Doubtfire situation. Where he would win her over as the bear, and then he would pull off the bear carcass and be like, hey, it's really me. We can be together now. I think.
Or
that
he
would...
could wear it and they could do the furry thing. Kind of like half and half. That's yeah. the world.
That guy would probably be the most popular guy at the furry convention.
Absolutely. Wait, your costume is a real bear? That is so hot. Yeah.
Come down to this
yes,
basement.
Yes, yeah.
That guy's probably going to get some real tail, eh?
Boo. I'm booing that one.
You're a man of poor character if you're booing a pun, my friend. Yeah, so this guy's sentenced to 5 to 15 years in prison and will have a restraining order. The woman will have a restraining order against him until 2031, which means that if he serves the full 15 years and then gets out, there's only a 5-year leeway where that restraining order still protects her. So this guy, in 6 years after he gets out of jail, he'll probably do the same thing. So... if this
and
show
that's more than enough time to get a bear carcass.
Yeah, he's going to be able to plan out how to get the best bear carcass in this time. So when we do a Pool Party Radio episode in the year 2032, we'll be talking about this guy again.
You can count on it. Yeah. We'll have to archive this one and save it. We just talked about this guy 31 years ago. Excuse me.
Indeed. But yeah, so that's it for the lightning round. We're going to take a quick fake break, and we will be back with all kinds of other stuff.
Part of the Red Band Network, redbandnetwork.com.
Where is the Mr. Pibb? I told your secretary to pack Mr. Pibb. It's the only Coke I like. Goddamn Brenda's exploding like a water balloon. The worms driving my friends around like the goddamn skin cars. People are spitting acid at me, turning into cottage cheese, and now there's no fucking goddamn Mr. Pibb!
Jesus Christ, Jack, let me get right on it.
Welcome back to Pool Party. First, before we get into Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is a segment we do on the show sometimes, I just wanted to ask you guys if you ever make up stupid lies for fun. I, one time, was driving around with this kid, Levis, and our friend Misty. This was like in high school. Misty, I guess I should say, was, she lived in Vandalia. We lived in Huber Heights. It was very, very weird at the time, very uncommon for, for someone from one town to be friends with somebody from another town, as this was mostly pre-internet. And so if people didn't live in your town, you never knew they existed, pretty much. There were probably some exceptions to this, but that's mostly how life was before the internet existed. And so we somehow became friends with this girl, and we were driving around with her one day. And we were in Vandalia, and a car almost hits us. And, she's like, oh, my God, that guy, he almost hit you guys. You know, aren't you guys angry? You know, wouldn't you guys like to chase him down and beat him up for almost hitting you? Something like this. And we mm-hmm. told her about how in Huber Heights, that's not the way we do it. In Huber Heights, when somebody hits our car and we want to do something about it, we all get out of the car and we dance. And whoever's the best dancers, have to apologize and pay for the other person's car or whatever like that. And she seemed, either she was a very good actor or she seemed to really believe us about this. And she was asking all these questions about how this came to be and what kind of cultural thing this was and who started this and how often it happens and stuff. And so we just kept lying to her because she believed us. At first we were just joking, of course, but since she believed us, we created this whole thing. And I was wondering if you guys ever throw out any silly lies like that and just keep it going.
Yes.
Yes, period,
that,
or do you
that
have like
was a lie? No, yeah, I lie to my coworkers all the time because they don't actually know anything about my personal private life. Like, I told them that today on the weekends I wear a wizard costume and go to Magic the Gathering conventions.
You put on your robe and wizard hat.
Which, like, I might as well because I'm a giant fucking nerd, but yes. I put on my robe and wizard hat. And that this is where I meet men and have lots of sex with them. So this is what my coworkers think of me. And I think it's really hilarious.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You should also tell them that if you lose in magic cards, then you have to dance fight that person.
Yes, I'm going to add this. Anything that you guys can think of to add to this ridiculous story.
And that's like your critical... I will do it. That's the critical save in a magic card game. It's like, well, you lost, but can you dance? All right, I'll give you one more try. I'm actually a terrible liar, and there's been times when I try to play something off, it doesn't work. And this, I can't think of a time when I've been lying to someone, and it's like in the instance with that friend of yours, Misty, where you're just trying to like play around with her and be like, oh yeah, totally, we do a dance off. With the car wreck, I would go into an anecdote like that and then just eventually fess up to say like, no, that's a joke, of course not. But to try and like pull off a lie legitimately, I'm always brought back to this time when I was about like 7 or 8 and I understood what the concept of lying was, and I tried to tell a lie to my parents. They were both sitting in the living room like on a Saturday. And I came in, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm like, hey, you know, this friend of Jimmy's, my older brother, he's Justin, I think. It's like, they go, yeah, Justin, what about it? And I'm like, well, his family, they've got a missile silo in their backyard. I tried to say something like that, like there was a missile in their backyard, but I didn't know how to explain it. I'm like, you know, it's underground, da-da-da, that sort of thing. You understand what I'm saying. And they're like, are you trying to lie to us right now? And they're both looking at each other and smiling, like, are you, you're really trying to play this off? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry. And I walked away, and that was the entire, that was my entire foray into, like, legitimate lines, but... Yeah, any more, I mean, my face will get red, and I'll just fess up anyway.
It's adorable.
It is adorable.
Well, it was really bad effort, too. Like, I couldn't think of something slight or something that I knew how to vocalize and communicate. Like, I'm like, you know, it's a missile. They got it underground to launch. Like a silo? Yeah. What's it? No, not like that. Silos are for grains and all that.
You should have come up with a more subtle lie, like the fact that everybody in your town dance fights all the time for no reason.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like where you're going with this, how you're propagating this dance fighting thing.
More lies about dance fighting. I love how this poor girl was like trying to do like ethnographic research on your town. Like, well, how exactly does this happen? What are the cultural significance of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that Vandalia and Heber Heights are, I mean, they're next to each other. They're not even a mile apart. Like, there wouldn't be this such a difference in culture, like such a culture gap.
Between... Once you cross the line into Vandalia, watch your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even though you can spit on the other town.
It was divided by that reservoir. So, I mean, it might as well have been divided by the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, or an ocean, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, next we've got The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This is a thing that we do sometime on the show where, you know, we find a topic. May that topic be movie cameos or concerts we've been to or whatever. And we... do a good example, a bad example, and an ugly example. This week's topic is moving. Times we've moved from one house to another.
So, yeah, if people remember from last week, we talked about a very funny instance where Parker had moved with the aid of Chase and the promise that Chase might be able to move in, and that did not happen.
Yeah.
So...
We made this kid help us move all our crap, three people's crap, from one house to another, and then, you know, as he was getting comfortable sitting around, this guy being homeless, sitting around, you know, making himself comfortable, at that point we told him to get the hell out. And he was a bad person, so that makes it funny.
And just going round robin with the goods, Sam, do you want to start off with your best experience with moving, your good experience in moving?
Yeah, my good is actually really, really pretty short. So moving sucks. Everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. And I've never had a truck or any sort of thing to move anything with. So every time I move, it's like a million trips and just a huge disaster. And I'm like the tiniest person ever. So I can't fucking lift things myself. And I have to like hire 25 burly men to like come and help me. So I lived in this apartment, in this building in Dayton, and it was the first time that I had lived by myself. And I loved it. It was great, whatever. But there was an apartment down the hall that was actually bigger and nicer. So my best move was dragging my shit down the hall into the apartment I live in right now. I didn't have to get anybody to help me. I did it in one night. I set everything up. It was the easiest thing ever, and I was drunk by 10 o'clock. It was good.
You moved down the hall. Yeah, if you're drunk by 10 o'clock, it's always an excellent evening. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Good is easy for me.
Yeah. What about you, Parker? What was your good?
My good is also very easy. It was by far the longest move, but also by far the easiest one. me and my wife, like my wife came out here from California and lived with me for a couple of months before we got married. And then we went back out to California where she's from to get married and to pick up her car and to put a bunch of stuff in her car and to drive it out here. So we only had to make the one trip because we put all our, like, as much stuff as would fit in our car. So that is significantly less trips than any of the other times I've moved. And it was just one single car full of things, mostly just records and stuff. So also less stuff than I've ever had to move. Like, I have a California king size bed. Didn't have to move that. The thing weighs like 800 pounds. So that was good. It was very easy, simple. And we got to go to Branson, Missouri, which is, of course, the home of Yakov Smirnoff. I got to make a lot of jokes. Anytime we would go anywhere in that town, we spent the night in that town. We went to like a southern buffet, and they asked if we wanted tea, and I said, you know, in Soviet Russia, tea sweetens you. And I just kept on with that like the whole time. We went to a wax museum, and every wax museum person we saw, I made a Yakov Smirnoff joke, and it was just a tremendous time. So anytime you get to move very easily with only a small car full of stuff, and you get to go to Yakov Smirnoff's hometown, or I guess not hometown, but where he lives now, just a brilliant time.
That does sound like your dream experience, because I know how much you love making Yakov Smirnoff-style jokes about in Soviet Russia, what they do there, being exactly opposite of what we do here.
Yeah, I really wanted to see his show, too, but it was like $100, which seemed pretty
ridiculous. It's a lot for a tried-and-true comedian shtick.
Yeah, especially just to like see it mostly ironically. But I guess I should have just went all the way with the irony and just paid the $100 and just made sure that the cashier knew that it was fairly ironic.
And then under your breath as you're going to take it, you're like, you know, in Soviet Russia, take that face for you. Just saying.
So how about you, Mr. Frisbee? What's your good?
My good experience moving was moving from a kind of awkward living situation into a friend's house, mainly because it was like the first time I was able to do this on my own successfully. Usually I'd have family help me out, which was always great. And I didn't really have to move that much, like through college or anything. The only time I did move was, again, like having family help me move to that location. So in this case, like I had an in-between place I was living at, I'll mention later, and did not work out that well. Wasn't the best situation. And then I was finally able to get out, and it was just an incredible liberating feeling. And what I remember doing most about that was, like Sam said earlier, making the multiple trips, because it was almost exactly down the street. You know, it wasn't down the hallway, but it was down the street. So it was still like, you know, having to go back and haul carloads of stuff back and forth. But then I had to get my bed out of storage. It was, that was probably the nicest part about it, because I really like the bed I have and I don't want to be without it. So I remember like my friend helping me. It was my friend John. He put on a makeshift hitch on his car, and I followed him very closely behind, just looking at my bed, which I hadn't seen for a few months. And, oh, yeah, just so excited, so relieved. That was a good feeling. What was your bad moving experience, Sam?
My bad experience was, I don't know if you guys have this in your life, but there's always, like, the ex, like the really bad one.
I thought at first that you said DX, and I thought you were having troubles with Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
No. Me. Fuck. Yeah, I broke up with him, and then there were all kinds of issues. No, so I was moving out of the apartment that I had with the ex, and it was just kind of the most uncomfortable moving situation that I've ever been in, because it was like, he was really indignant about the whole thing, and it was like, it was not a good breakup at all. So he was just kind of like sitting in the middle of the floor while I was like lugging shit out of the apartment and just like watching me and making snide remarks while I'm like dragging stuff out in the rain into my U-Haul. Like just really uncomfortable, really bizarre. And plus, you know, it was raining and moving always sucks anyway. So insult plus injury. Yeah.
That stinks. Yeah, I haven't had that experience, but that's feels like it'd be rough. Have you had something like that yet, Parker? Ever?
Not really. Usually, I go into every relationship plotting out how badly it will end. So I usually ask girls to move in with me so that I don't have to move out. Because that's how I plan things out in my head in advance. So I haven't really had anything like that.
For future reference, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, just get people to move in with you. That way you can be the person making the snide remarks and not caring. Yeah, it'll work out.
What about you, Parker?
My bad is moving from Dayton to California. Not just because in hindsight, that means that I live in California now, but also because the act of moving was very terrible. We had, you know, we got this big U-Haul and stuff, and we moved in the middle of July for some reason. So it was like the hottest possible time to move, and we lived, you know, like three floors up and in a tiny little apartment building. And, you know, we packed, like I have, you know, hundreds of books, which are the absolute heaviest things once you compile a lot of them and put them into a box, which I learned. And yeah, so I mean, it was like 105 degree heat or something like the day that we decided to move, and like stupid crazy humidity, as is the case in Dayton. And it took us like all day, and it was just awful. Like all my bones and muscles melted from doing this. And just like the worst possible thing, like I had to take like a million Gatorade breaks. I was like I was like Shaq in the fourth quarter, just dripping sweat. You know, all this horrible stuff. So it was a bad time. Also, we had to load up. You know, we took a U-Haul out here and we loaded my wife's car onto like a whatever they're called, some sort of platform that follows the U-Haul truck. And yeah, we didn't know how to do that, and we had to do that in the rain. So just horrible luck upon horrible luck, and then the prize at the end was living in this beautiful, beautiful desert full of bugs and garbage.
Yeah, that stinks. And I hate to be nostalgic about it, but moving away from Dayton, you realize, like, oh, crap. I'm leaving, like, all the stuff I know and friends I've made and all this stuff. So, yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah, it was pretty bogus. I was, you know, yeah, I was like missing stuff. Like when we were driving out, I was like, oh, there's where Jags used to be. I'll miss that. But then, like once we got on the highway, I was like, well, we're going to pass by Branson, Missouri again. So maybe we'll stop there. And then I got happy.
You and Branson.
It's a great place.
You might like that place as much as my grandparents do. I don't think that's healthy.
It's very healthy. It's a wonderful town. They've got really, really big squirrels in a wax museum and really good food, and everything's neon for some reason.
Awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Mr. Frisbee? What's your bad moving experience?
My bad moving experience was moving into my aunt's attic after I graduated. And it wasn't like, I mean, my aunt is a great person. She has a really nice house. The attic was fully furnished and really nice. But when it came down to it, like the bedroom just made you realize, hey, you're living in an attic. Don't forget it. Cause it had like the sloping ceiling and everything. And it was next to a road. So like whenever a car drove by, I'd wake up. And other than that, there was just kind of like the awkwardness of moving in with family. Like it's different than trying to live with parents or anything. Because at the time, like, I was unemployed, didn't really know where I was going to be working, and just didn't have the money to pay for rent. Didn't have, like, a job to prove that I could pay for rent. So she was taking me in, and then you have to discuss stuff like rent and all this. And there's, like, miscommunication about it. Really uncomfortable kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, trying to do anything in that light, you know, it's always uneasy and just gonna be a pretty bad experience. Like trying to invite my girlfriend over, I wouldn't do it. Like we were dating and everything. She's like, oh yeah, I mean, I can come down to Dayton sometime, and like, no, I'll just go there. That'd be way easier. It's like, not to be a downer or anything about it. I'm just saying it was a bad experience.
Yeah,
so.
Now I'm really sad.
I'm crying over here. This is messed up.
Yeah.
This is the saddest moment of my life.
No, it's not.
Why is this happening?
This is not the saddest moment of your life. The saddest moment of your life, probably the last episode of the Buffy series.
Actually, yeah, I was actually just going to say that. I was going to say when Spike... when something happened to Spike, that was sad.
Dude, I can't talk about that right now.
That's what you have to refer to it as. I didn't know if you were trying to do like a spoiler save or if that's how you actually refer to it. Like
because you can't say out loud.
Yeah. Something happened to Spike that was bad.
This thing that shall not be named.
Yeah, if I actually say it, I'll just start weeping.
Right.
And saying the word effulgent over and over again.
My ugly moving experience was moving to Ohio, more than just because I'm now stuck in Ohio. but yeah. I met a boy on the internet, and I moved to Ohio to date him. and he is the reason why I know Jason Frisbee. Basically, my ex-boyfriend Chris flew up to Connecticut where I was living, and we decided that we were going to pack my shitty money pit of a Volkswagen full of all of my belongings and drive them to Ohio. And I live a pretty Spartan existence as it is, so I didn't have much. I sold what little furniture I had. I packed up all of my shit in this crappy Jetta. And it was one of those cars that just you constantly have issues with. Nothing ever goes right with this thing. So we're driving this car, and of course it breaks down in Pennsylvania. So I think that we were only like a few hours outside of Connecticut. So the car breaks down. We're both freaking out. We temporarily figure out a way to fix it. It involves like Chris getting in there and like fixing the car and being very manly. And so then the car broke down again after we had it fixed for a little while. And this continued on for a few miles with the car breaking down, us fixing it, breaking down, us fixing it. So we finally decided we were going to try and find a repair shop. So hopped on the GPS, found a repair shop. And it was in this little podunk town that there was nothing there but this repair shop pretty much. And maybe like an Arby's or something, because there's always an Arby's.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to this repair shop with these very burly mustachioed men working there. And I'm like, well, they look like they could fix my car. So we get them to fix the car. They say that there's something minor. I don't know anything about cars, but they say there's something minor wrong with it. So I trust them with this. They fix it. And then we get back out on the highway. We're out there for like half an hour or so, and it breaks down again. So we had to turn around and like get the car towed with AAA back to the repair shop. It was just this huge disaster over and over again with the car breaking down. Eventually we ended up having to get a U-Haul and get one of those tow thingies behind it to drag the car behind it. Which sucks because I got rid of a lot of things, including a cat, which I could have brought with me had I known that I was going to get a U-Haul.
Wow.
We get this U-Haul. Basically, we came back to Ohio with like $0. I didn't have a working car anymore. I had a job set up, but I live in Dayton and the job was in Springfield, so I had no way to get to the job. So I ended up having to buy a new car, and basically it was just this gigantic clusterfuck of terribleness. There were definitely fun parts. Like, we got to stay in a hotel and, you know, eat shitty road trip food, and all that stuff was fun, but it was a gigantic disaster of epic proportions.
Yeah, I think where you went wrong is coming from the east. If you were to maybe plot out your trip to go through Branson, Missouri, everything probably would have worked out pretty well.
I fucked up.
Well, you know, in Soviet Russia, Branson, Missouri comes to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about you, Parker?
My ugly is this thing. It's ugly to me. I still feel a lot of shame about it. I doubt that the other person involved feels very much shame now, or even at the time, because he's a very easygoing fellow, a very nice fellow. But the first time that I like really moved out of my house was to live with my girlfriend. We moved to a town called Findlay, Ohio, that is just an awful, awful town. Actually, yeah, so yeah, we broke up, and then I moved out, actually. So I do have a story like that, Frisbee. I just blocked it from my mind until now. But yeah, so I lived there, and I moved out, and I moved in with this kid, Blake Sell, who's a very nice young man. He knows a lot about Italian horror movies, and he knows a lot about making beer.
Yeah, it's true. That's how I met him, was through a beer tasting.
Yeah, so I lived with him for a while. It was me, him, our friend Gary, and Jono. And, you know, when we lived together for like 6 months or something. It was a fun time. I didn't really know Blake Sell before that. Jono convinced him to let me move there. And me and Jono, like, there was only two bedrooms. So me and Jono both slept in the living room on couches that faced each other. It was like a fun, you know, way to live.
Did you ever like look across and be like, "Hey, Jono, are you awake?" And he's like, "Yeah." You need to ask him what you're thinking about.
All the time. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And his answer would always be Lucio Fulci's zombie. And then we would turn that on and stop sleeping. And so, yeah, that's the way I lived for like 6 months. And it was fun and stuff. But I, you know, needed my own room, I realized, after 6 months of sleeping on a couch. And, you know, so that's how I got to move into the aforementioned house that we talked about last week with Jono and Jenny Mack and Chase and everybody is. I moved from Blakesell's house into that house, but in moving out of that house, like, I'm a very nervous, anxiety-ridden fellow as it is. Like, I don't really like to, you know, cause, like, you know, I don't mind offending people and making people not hate or not like me if there's, like, a good reason for it. But for some reason, I get real neurotic when it comes to things that I think will make people not like me, but in reality, they're just, like, normal things. So I never told Blakesell that I was going to move out of fear of him not liking me, and I just picked up and moved out one day. I was afraid that it would hurt his feelings if I told him I didn't want to live there anymore. So I just moved out, and we didn't talk for like 3 weeks, and then we ran into each other, and he was, you know, he was like, "Hey, Gary told me you were moving out. It's all good." And like we hugged, and we were good buddies after that, and we actually lived together a while after that again. And, but yeah, I felt like a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about just, you know, leaving like that. And I still do. I wish I had the guts to tell Blakesell that I was moving out. But
but the way you said it, like, knowing Blake, I mean, you have to meet Blake to know that you wouldn't expect him to say, well, specifically the words, "It's all good," but to also, like, give you a hug and stuff, which I don't doubt just from having, you know, met up with on occasion when I visit back to Dayton. And he's always like totally like, "Oh, come here, you big lug." He gives you a hug. he has like this long black curly hair that's pulled back into a ponytail. And he usually just wears this deadpan expression on his face the entire time. Like his mouth will smile, but it's not like his entire face will smile. Like his eyes don't close or anything like that. So
he doesn't smile like Tyra.
Excuse me. No, he doesn't. He's like, yeah, he's just a very kind fellow. But you never assume it. Like, I would almost assume that if I were in that same situation, I would try to secretly move out of fear that Blake would have hated me.
Yeah, like, he used to wear, like, leather pants and, like fishnet shirts and stuff, so he kind of had the, you know, you could imagine that he could be mean, and I've never seen him be mean ever in my life, aside from this time that, like, when we were all living with Jono and stuff, Jono didn't pay rent 1 month, or, like, he was late with the rent, and when Blakesell found out John was asleep, and Blakesell just beat the ever-loving shit out of him with a rubber chicken, screaming, screaming, "Where's my money? Where's the money?" And just beating him with this rubber chicken, and Jono was screaming in pain, and that's the only time I've seen him be, like, remotely mean. Yeah, how about you, Mr. Frisbee? What's your ugly moving story?
My ugly move was actually coming from Dayton to Charlotte, and here's what happened. I had asked my friend Aaron Larson, who we had on the show previously, to help me move. And he asked a couple, like, at first he said, you know, "Where are you moving, Charlotte?" And he kind of hesitated. He's like, "Okay, yeah, I'll help." I was like, "Yeah, it's cool. I'll pay for your plane ticket back and everything, all this stuff. I just need, you know, help moving, getting stuff into the U-Haul and getting down there because I have a car and I'm going to drive the U-Haul." He's like, "All right, yeah. And I'll help you load up the U-Haul. Do you have everything packed up?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, it's getting there. It's almost there." And what I considered, you know, "it's almost there" to be, turned out to be with Aaron showing up on the day of the move and him finally like helping me pack up most of my shit. Like there was, I had maybe two or three boxes filled before he got there. And was thinking like, yeah, I'm definitely making progress. But it wasn't until like I saw his face as he came in, as he just like, he came through the doorway of this, what was basically a studio. It was just one room and a kitchen. And he just kind of scans the room and just sees how everything is still looked very lived in and livable. And he's like, "All right, so you're packed." And I'm like, I thought I was. And yeah, it was ugly because I felt really shitty about it. And we talked about it later. And he's like, I didn't want to be in a situation where I had to help pack everything up. You know, I wanted to be more organized than that. But, and I was really bad at it too. Like, I thought I was great at like putting stuff together into boxes. No, not even a clue. It's like I'd never done it before. I'm like, all these glasses go with these knives, right? Probably not. So yeah, that's my ugly. I feel like I did a real disservice. And, you know, should I ever have to move again, like, I will have to just be better at it all around. I don't know why I was so bad at it that time.
You got that same defeatist attitude towards cereal as you do packing up and moving.
Why even bother? I'll just leave my stuff here and let somebody else take care of it.
I've done that a few times when I've moved.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like if I move out of a house where, like, some of my friends are, like, staying, I'll just be like, hey, I'll come back for stuff, you know, later or whatever. And, like, 6 months later, I'll be like, hey, you guys got that box of Spawn toys still? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then I'll be like, okay. I've lost hundreds and hundreds of boxes of Spawn toys.
Thank you for the pudding, Theo. Tastes good.
My name's Janessa, but you can call me Jan.
I like the way the pudding tastes in my mouth, Theo.
You should slow down, Cosby. You're gonna get a stomach ache. Oh, my God.
Oh, oh my goodness. Oh, Theo.
Oh, no, Cosby. I'm sorry.
Oh, Theo.
What have I done?
Rudy. Theo, Rudy. That's me.
Rudy.
Theo,
you see.
I am having a fabulous time, Rudy.
More Cosbys? Yay!
Yeah, so moving on now, we're going to do a segment, everybody's favorite segment of the show, called Frisbee Got Mail.
Frisbee Got Mail.
This is a segment where Frisbee reads all the mails we've gotten, all the emails. You can send emails to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Frisbee will read them. He likes to read. So yeah, do you have any emails for us this week, Mr. Frisbee?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
I've got two of them. One we have is from Mark. Should I give the full name or no?
Nah, don't give those last names. We don't want people creeping him on Facebook.
Sure. So Mark writes us, Dear Pool Party Radio, you don't give a shit about missing kids? Fuck you. He's referring to when we talked about two episodes ago about a kid missing flyers, and Parker found it hysterical that there was a kid that's been missing since 1960, and the families have almost quite literally have not given up the ghost. Yeah. Not to be cruel in that sort of play on words, but
yeah, once you've been missing for, let's say, over 25 years, it's time to give up.
Yeah,
25 years is the cut. That's stretching it. Even I say 6 months really ideally, but you know, since 1960 or whatever, that's just too much.
6 months.
This
six-year-old wants to be gone.
Yeah, yeah, he's yeah. just asking for it.
Yeah.
But in this case, I liken that down to Parker just imagining that this kid has missed the entire career span of Guar, so why even bother?
That's like, true.
It's not even worth living. But Mark goes on to say, most of those kids are dead now because you didn't look for them. I guess he's referring to you, particularly Parker. Way to be a hermit and not try to look for people, Dick. How does that make you feel, Parker? Do you feel like your hermit status needs to be resolved now that he's called you a dick?
Well, I mean, I think if I'm going to revoke my hermit status, like if I'm going to actually leave my house to do anything, it'll probably be like visit family members or, you know, purchase goods or something rather than hunt down kids.
Down kids. Missing kids.
No, that sounds like a different thing entirely.
Yeah. You're like creeping up on lived in houses and peeking through windows.
I'm going to hunt them for sport.
The most dangerous game. He goes on, one time I was lost in the mall for an hour and pissed my fucking pants. Yeah, I was 10. But I can identify with those kids. So fuck you for not giving a shit. Mark.
I got lost in the mall once, or not in the mall, but a gold circle one time. I was looking at the Gremlins toys for too long, and my mom peaced out on me to go to a different aisle. So I understand. I was scared for a few moments, so I guess I can understand that. But
Did you become incontinent?
Yeah, I took a lot of OxyContin. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I understand. But Kipper Lacey is the name of the kid that we were talking about. And, you know, he's been gone for 65 years. There's no amount of looking that's going to help him.
So don't even bother.
Yeah,
don't go around asking, are you Kipper Lacey or anything like that.
Well, his parents named him Kipper Lacey, so they didn't really give a shit about him anyway.
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's what we came to the conclusion of, too, on that episode. Was like, anybody who names their kid Kipper obviously wants that kid to run away.
Yeah, so, but yeah. I
get lost.
The subject line of this guy's email is that we are monsters.
You guys are monsters, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'll take, you know, as we've already stated, I'll take most of the blame on that. Frisbee's not so much a monster. I actually, after we recorded that show, found an entire website dedicated to Kipper Lacey and finding mm-hmm. stuff, and I sent it to Frisbee with the subject line of LOL, and he didn't even respond. Like, so, He's a well-adjusted man who does not like to LOL at Kipper Lacey's unfortunate demise. But
not a single lol was given that day. Not at all.
So I'll take the monster status on this one.
You should. The monster mash status.
Yeah.
Not sure why I added that in there.
Also, I do want to take this moment to now proclaim that the dead little kid in our logo, that's Kipper Lacey. That's now on.
You're such a monster.
Everybody's always asked me for as long as Pool Party's been around what the name of that kid is, who that kid is. Now we know.
Well, there you have it. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah. Our next email is titled Favor to Ask as the subject line. So we have somebody calling in on a favor, as we were so apt to promote for people who left comments or gave us ratings on iTunes, and we are still hold to that. Mm-hmm. Favors abounds. We'll do you solid. Yeah. So, favor to ask from Jeffrey. He writes, Dear Pool Party Radio, greetings from Salt Lake City. I've been a faithful listener ever since episode 2. The first one was pretty bad.
I like this kid's attitude.
Thanks.
And agree.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you guys if you could cut down on the swearing. Before you ask, yes, I'm Mormon, and I live with my parents. So my mom listens to everything I download on iTunes. I like your guys' opinion. Wait, this guy downloads our stuff on iTunes. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Do you think that we swear that much?
I don't know. I never catch it. Like, I guess so, because some people write us. I do this other podcast called Junk Food Dinner about movies and stuff, and some people write us and ask us to stop swearing. And whenever they do, Kevin and Mark go, blame Parker. So I guess perhaps there is a great amount of swearing. I don't know. It just rolls off my tongue the way that it's like beautiful prose to me. I don't even catch it.
I think 90% of the swearing on our show is all John Holmes. And we're probably doing a service by banning him.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So hang in there, Jeff. He says, I like your guys' opinions, but she won't let me listen to you if you keep on swearing. So could you do a clean show that I could show to my mom? If not, kindly fuck off. Jeff.
Well, yeah.
Oh, what do his other moms think about it?
Moms tend to love us, but...
Yeah, moms are our biggest demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll try to clean it up a little. I don't know how that will help if we have a show with no cuss words, but we're talking about dead kids and stuff like that. Bear attacks.
People dressing up as bears, yeah.
Yeah.
The whole kill time. Their exes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I would think that the cussing would be the least of your mom's worries. But, you know, we'll try it out. We'll try to work clean. We'll become the Will Smiths of podcasting, if it will please your mother.
I know I've been kind of letting go on this episode, but most of the time I try to replace curse words with basically nonsense. Like,
so we'll become the Bill Cosbys of podcasting.
Yeah, instead of like saying damn it, we can say Theo. Instead of shit, we can say Rudy.
That sounds like a pretty solid policy.
Yeah, Rudy. Yeah. Rudy, Theo this
Theo.
Rudy. No, I was actually saying stuff like, I still do. I say gravy if I'm upset. I'm not sure where that comes from.
I guess we're the Ned Flanders of podcasts.
Well, yeah, sorry, Jeff. We'll try an episode soon. I'm not sure what we could do. Could we do like a some sort of bleep or censor of those curse words?
Yeah, I can try to bleep stuff. But like I said, like my blood-stained ears hardly even pick up on curse words, so I'm sure I'll only get like 10% of them. And then be like, this is grade A, this is censored stuff here. And still a bunch of cuss words, so we'll try it out. But I mean, we owe this kid a solid, and yeah. we don't want to...
True.
We don't want to backtrack on any of our solids. Speaking of which, I know I'm still supposed to view and report on the China porn DVD, but
right.
We need more time on that. Porn doesn't grow on trees. I mean, we got people being arrested in Kansas for stealing the stuff. I mean, it's in high demand, so I'll have to wait until I come across some of that before I can talk about it.
That could be why he robbed the store. Yeah. I want to get Parker around to this shit. I want to hear what's going to happen. So.
Yeah, he's a big fan. He just wanted me to watch that China tape.
It's a solid.
Yeah. I guess that means this is the end of the show. We got no more stuff. Mm. Yeah. Pretty sad.
Aww.
Yeah, thanks, Sam, for being on the show. That was totally fun.
Thank you. Yeah, it was awesome.
And you have a Tumblr account and other web presence to announce, right?
Yeah, all my business is accessible through my Twitter, so I guess I would say go to twitter.com/SamanthaStrudel.
And yeah. Strudel spelled S-T-R-U.
S-T-R-U. I don't remember how to spell strudel. Yay, beer. S-T-R-U-D-E-L.
Okay.
We'll follow Friday, Friday, for those of our audience that don't want to spell strudel.
I don't want to spell words.
Yeah.
Easier than my actual last name.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, other than that, you can check us out at the Pool Party at poolpartyradio.com. We got all these episodes there now. Like, so many episodes. So many episodes you could choke a camel. We got...
a lot of episodes.
You goddamn right it is. We have also got a link to the iTunes where you can leave comments and reviews for us and also subscribe. And if you leave comments and reviews, we'll owe you a solid if you just email us and let us know what that solid is. You can, of course, follow Jason Frisbee on Twitter at Jason Frisbee. He needs more Twitter followers. He just got a smartphone, people. He's going to be tweeting fucking all day long.
I have been, too. I finally see the use of it. And it's a marvelous, it's a wonderful device. Like, if I ever get distracted or kind of bored, I can just look down my phone and be like, hey, I wonder what everyone else is doing right now. And there it is at my fingertips.
Tweeting so, yeah, about Justin Bieber.
Yep.
That's what we're all doing.
It's a dream come true.
Also, we should let you know that I was on a podcast called Acid Pop Cult this week. The show was co-hosted by Jeremy Morrison, who has been on this show before. He's been on, I think, episode 17. He was also on Junk Food Dinner one time.
Mm-hmm.
He's a swell dude. They've got a pop culture podcast over there. It's Jeremy and a fellow named Chris and a lady named Roxy. And they're all entertaining. I was going to say blokes because because Frisbee's rubbing off on me with all this English stuff.
Oh, you love the British.
But yeah, so they do a good show. I was on episode 3. It should be the newest episode, I think, at this time. You can find it at acidpopcult.wordpress.com or on iTunes. Just search for Acid Pop Cult. We talked about Scream Queens, horror movies, the state of horror movies today, and then Super Scream Queen and Super Tromette. Tiffany Shepis showed up, and she talked about Scream Queen-ism, and I listened intently. It was... it was a lot of fun for me to
be shy.
Yeah, to be shy and get to talk to somebody I have thought is cool for like 10 years. And it was, I told Jeremy even before the show, I was like, man, if you got Tiffany Shepis on the show, what the hell do you need me for? I'm a goon. But he let me come on anyway. But yeah, so Tiffany Shepis showed up and it was a fun time. We talked about all kinds of horror stuff, all kinds of Scream Queen stuff. You can find that at Acid Pop Cult. wordpress.com. They're fun. Go listen to those guys since the show's over. So, yeah, we'll be back next week with an all-new show with all-new stuff. And, yeah, see ya.
Bye. I do enjoy a lot of British stuff. I mean, we even have, like, British-style Heinz baked beans here that I like to put on toast. I don't put those on toast, but I put baked beans on toast.
That's weird.
That's European as fuck. You're a strange fellow.
It's so good. Do you dip your fries in mayonnaise?
No.
You're missing out, both of
you.
No. Yeah, that's weird.
I like how I'm progressively grossing both of you out with these, like... These, I mean, they're not even, like, offensive stuff. I might as well be saying, like, oh, I skin babies. Who doesn't? You don't skin babies?
Well, that's fine.
That's totally
mayonnaise?
Okay. Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise on fries is way grosser than skinning babies.
Delicious, I agree. Man.
So good. Poutine out of Canada. Gravy fries with cheese curds on them.
I hope the government takes away your Social Security card because you don't deserve to be here.
Let's write them a letter, Parker.
Yeah.
Kick this motherfucker out.
You guys don't know.
He likes poutine.
This asshole said that he likes poutine. What do you think of that? You're gonna fuck the rest of us or what?